My children are the proud inheritors of a large bin of Legos. I'm talking like this. And they've got it under one of their beds, and you can just put all kinds of stuff together with that. To my delight, about 2 months ago, Lego did a thing where they joined in with another one of my favorite things and created this. The Lord of the Rings Minas Tirith Lego set. It made me very excited. It is over 8,000 pieces to put together. It is 2 feet tall when completed. The White City. I could have a tangible reminder in my office, living room, bedroom, who knows, of the joy of putting these little plastic pieces together and some of the stories that shape my inner being. It would be amazing. And then I saw the price. Now, there was a former time when I was a child where I would have seen any number and thought, I don't care how much it is, I'm going after it. Everything I'm doing, I'll mow lawns, I'll buy it. But I saw that this cost $650 to purchase. And kids, I had one of these thoughts that, I don't know, your parents might be very familiar with. I looked at $650 and I said, think of all the things I could buy with $650. What's something that you want where your very next thought is, but think of what I could do with that money or that time or that job position? I'd actually love to hear if any of those come to mind. What is something that you want where that's your very next thought?
Everything.
Everything. Okay. What else?
Gymnastics.
All right. Yeah. Patrick. Dollywood. Yes. But think of what I could do with all that time, a day on my own. Less adrenaline spiking through my body. Well, I was stunned at the price of this thing. But it did make me recognize we are all actually quite experienced at weighing value against value. This would be great, but think of what I could do with it elsewhere. We have a lot of experience, but are we actually any good at it? Can we really see what the most valuable things are, and are we trustworthy to make the right decisions along the way? Kids, again, you might be surprised, but grown-ups aren't always the best at knowing what to really value. We get it wrong. So Jesus gives us two parables that we're going to look at, both about the kingdom of God, and they're to help us. So the first we're going to look at is about buried treasure. The second we're going to look at is evaluating treasure. Buried treasure. Now imagine with me for a moment, you are a small town Israelite farmer. You've got a little bit of land. You're farming your land. And then all of a sudden you see over the horizon a group of soldiers coming your way. And you can tell that they are not there for a cup of tea. They are going to take over your land, and they're going to take your farm. They're going to take your stuff. You've got about 10 minutes to hide everything that you own, at least everything of value. So you bury it in your field in hopes that someday you might be able to come back and unbury it and still discover your valuable things. Now imagine you're a small farmhand 100 years later. You've been hired maybe to plow somebody's piece of farm, and you're plowing along, and then all of a sudden, clink, buried treasure. This actually happened quite often. This was not out of the ordinary to have happened during these days when they're invading armies. It'd be buried treasure. It's not a strange plot twist. Anyone in the room that Jesus was talking to might have stumbled onto lost treasure that now has no particular owner. The kingdom of heaven, Jesus says, and following the king of that kingdom, Jesus himself, is like buried treasure hidden in a field. If you sell everything and buy that field, it's like free money. Selling all your stuff to pay off a debt might be necessary, but it's not joy-inducing like it was for this man. Selling everything to buy that plot of land without the buried treasure That might be a meaningful investment. It's not the same just exuberance that you get from this guy in this parable. The kingdom is like the treasure that comes with that land that you sold everything to buy. Free money. God's kingdom. In other words, it is a no-brainer value. That's what we're meant to take away. And it brings joy. We're not meant to compare it with what we're selling to get it. We're not deciding which Lego set would be the best Lego set for me to buy. Should I spend my $650 on, say, the Eye of Sauron, which you could also get? I don't have a picture, but they got all kinds of stuff. Which 401k should I get in? Which set of friends should I try to connect with? We compare values all the time, but this treasure is incomparable. So, how do we evaluate treasure? Well, this first guy stumbled onto the treasure by pure accident, but the other guy in the second parable, who finds the pearl of great value, he's a merchant. He's a businessman. He spent his whole life directed towards finding pearls of great value. The kingdom, Jesus said, is like the merchant. He was already looking for fine pearls when he found one. I'm curious, what do you imagine that pearl of great value looked like? This is for anybody in the room. What's that? Shiny, all right. Colorful, maybe? Chick-fil-A. The pearl looked like Chick-fil-A. I have this funny image of like a basketball-sized pearl. You know, I don't know anything about pearls. I just imagine, well, it's more valuable, so it's more big. I was born in Texas, so I probably get it from there. But how silly. That would have to be a massive oyster, for one. But I realize I'm imagining this because I know nothing about pearls. I have not studied them. I have not learned how to evaluate them. Right? I've not gone to the places where I might find them. I'm not even prepared to protect a pearl of great value, should I find it. I have no idea what a pearl of great value is really like. But because this merchant desired it, he knew how to gear his life around discovering it, and he did. The merchant's life was directed towards the treasure that he desired. What's one thing, y'all, that you find yourselves searching for in the way that the merchant searched? Real question. What's something you find yourself gearing your whole life around in the way that the merchant did? Two stories, both about treasure. Both of these men gave up everything joyfully, were meant to take away, without hesitating. One did it after stumbling onto it by accident, the other after gearing his whole life towards it. Both of these treasures are the greatest good. Or, I'm going to give you a fancy Latin phrase, guys, that you can impress all your friends' parents with. It's summum bonum, the supreme good, the highest good. This is a phrase that a guy who lived hundreds of years ago, Augustine, used to describe actually that this treasure, this kingdom treasure, is not just the highest, most valuable treasure as compared to other things, but it is the one that you cannot compare, by which all other things get their value. It's not just the best Lego set possible. It is the thing that we derive our joy in putting Minas Tirith together from. Everything else that we have named today, Legos, money, time, it only has value when we compare it to something else. The thing that we might be choosing not to have so that we can have this. But the kingdom isn't the biggest number on the scale. It's not on the scale at all. Value isn't about size, a big basketball pearl. A pearl of great price could probably be walked right past without noticing it, right? Mistaken as something ordinary. A plower could just push right through when he's plowing, thinking that that was just another tough rock or root. Kingdom treasure can be as invisible as a mustard seed, or as the yeast that makes your bread so nice and fluffy to eat all day. It's not on the scale, this treasure. It's the one thing that everything else gets measured against, not the other way around. Notice the joy that these men have at finding this treasure. It's a joy that reminds us that on receiving kingdom treasure, we no longer need to go from purchase to purchase or friend to friend to try to keep that joy going. We don't need to keep buying more things to keep the joy welling up in us, because we know that actually, you know, all the toys that we see on our floors that we loved so much at one point, but now is kind of just in the corner. We know we love something, but then our love for it goes away. But not this treasure. This treasure is a totally different kind. These men wrapped their lives around it. So what would it look like for us to do the same? Yes, we can gear our lives around this treasure, this greatest treasure, and we should. Believing Jesus is King is a reality worth gearing our whole lives around. But I don't think that's the ultimate point here. Remember, the kingdom is like the merchant who is looking for the pearl of great value. You're not just looking for a pearl, y'all. You are the pearl of great value that is deeply sought by the merchant. Jesus is the merchant in this story. He has lived his whole life, believe it or not, looking to have you back. Because he loves you that much. Turn to somebody near you. This is an introvert's nightmare. Turn to somebody near you and say, "You are the pearl of great value." And Jesus gave everything for you. He gave everything he had with joy. And he gives you the choice of receiving him or not. He'll continue to put kingdom treasures in front of you, in front of me. But he's not going to force you to receive it. That kind of treasure can't be forced. The treasure of the kingdom is that Jesus, in fact, treasures you. We receive that treasure by wrapping our lives and treasuring him in return. So what would it look like this week to treat God's kingdom like a pearl of great price, knowing that he sees us just the same? Let me pray for us. Lord, I confess it is so hard to believe that you see me as the pearl of great price, that you desire me, us, whether we feel especially undesirable or desirable today. By the power of your Holy Spirit, would you bring up that kingdom treasure within us and help us to believe that you love us. We pray in your name, Jesus. Amen.